This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Russian president tells his French counterpart that Ukrainian forces are using Western-supplied weapons to target civilian infrastructure in the eastern Donbas region. Kiev says it's pushing back Russia's military from strategic holdouts in the east, while Moscow says it's hitting Ukrainian army positions in the Kharkiv region. And British media say calls for an end to the monarchy are growing stronger after the death of Queen Elizabeth. Thanks for joining us. The Russian president warns that regular Ukrainian attacks on the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant could have catastrophic consequences. Vladimir Putin made the remarks during a phone call with his French counterpart, Emmanuel Macron. The Kremlin stated that the two leaders expressed readiness for a non-politicized interaction on the situation of the Russian-controlled plant with the participation of the UN nuclear agency, the IAEA. Operations in Europe's largest nuclear power facility have come to a complete halt for safety purposes. Russia and Ukraine accuse each other of shelling the power station. During the call with Macron, Putin also said Ukrainian forces are using Western-supplied weapons to target civilian infrastructure in the eastern Donbas region. As the war with Russia enters its 200th day, Ukraine is claiming rapid advances in its offensive to retake territory in the east. The Ukrainian military says large parts of land spanning up to 3,000 square kilometers have been recaptured since the beginning of the counteroffensive this month. That's around one-third larger than the total area announced by President Volodymyr Zelensky one day earlier. Ukraine also says its troops are closing in on the eastern city of Lyschansk, captured by Russia 2 months ago. An offensive is also ongoing around the Russian-held Kherson region in the south, with Moscow dispatching reinforcements there. Zelensky says this winter could bring greater territorial gains if the West delivers more powerful weapons to Ukraine.
I believe that this winter is a turning point, and it can lead to the rapid deoccupation of Ukraine. We see how the Russian forces are fleeing in different directions. If we were a little stronger with weapons, we could deoccupy faster.
Russia has confirmed the drawdown from eastern Kharkiv, but says its troops are regrouping along the Donetsk front. Moscow also says its forces are hitting Ukrainian army positions in the Kharkiv region with precision air, missile, and artillery strikes. Meanwhile, Ukrainian officials have reported 10 injuries in Russian missile strikes in the cities of Mykolaiv and Dnipro. Calls are growing louder for an end to the British monarchy, with many starting to debate the relevance of the royal family. Since the death of Queen Elizabeth on Thursday, the main anti-monarchy group, Republic, says that it is getting an influx of supporters on social media and elsewhere. But the group says that many people are refraining from openly expressing their opinions because they do not want to cause offense amid the emotional atmosphere and media focus on the story. Republic is instead inviting people to be vocal and not feel intimidated. Says that they have every right to speak their minds about monarchy as a public office. Following Queen Elizabeth's death, her eldest son Charles has been named the king. His accession to the throne was proclaimed at a ceremony on Saturday. A correspondent in London, Said Purraza, says an anti-royal sentiment and republicanism have been gaining momentum in the UK over time.
is these calls have been around for a long time. For one, you have a prime minister now in this country who, at one point in her career as a Republican, called for the monarchy to be abolished, and this goes back to the 1990s. She may have since changed her mind, but that's what she said back then. So did many other people. You're looking at a time when one in four Britons are now considering the monarchy as an anachronistic institution that has to be gone. Now that the Queen, that was the figurehead of this institution for some 70 years, is gone, has passed away, and will be laid to rest on September 11th. If you look at the different age groups have different feelings and ideas of the monarchy. There are statistics out there, for example, saying that if you look at the younger generation, people between the ages of 18 and 24, they say they don't see the point of the monarchy, that it doesn't belong to the 21st century and it has to be done away with. But then over 65s seem to want the monarchy to stay around. So opinions are split, not just in the UK, but in other countries as well, in the so-called realms where the Queen is was, now the King, Charles III, the head of state.
More cities in Europe are switching off the lights as the continent braces for a worsening energy crunch amid tensions with Russia. In France, officials are cutting back lighting of the monumental Eiffel Tower as a symbolic figure or gesture to increase public awareness around the crisis. Earlier, officials in the northern city of Lille stopped lighting of public buildings to reduce energy consumption ahead of winter. Germany is also switching off the spotlights, illuminating 200 of its historic buildings and monuments. A number of towns and cities in Austria and Italy have also reduced street lighting or turned off commercial signs to tackle galloping energy prices. A significant share of electricity in Europe comes from natural gas, which is currently in short supply. Russia has indefinitely suspended the delivery of gas to the continent, citing technical issues which it blames Western sanctions. A new report on poverty in France has revealed the devastating economic effects caused by Europe's sanctions on Russia over the Ukraine war. Multiple indicators have reached record lows, showing that their lower classes are worse off in decades. Ramin Mazari has more from Paris.
The annual report from one of France's top NGOs revealed that poverty has already skyrocketed this year. And that's at what many say is only the beginning of years of inflation and recession provoked by sanctions on Russia over the unrest in Ukraine. Secours Populaire found that the number of people who say they have known poverty has increased 9% in just the past year. That's the biggest increase in 30 years. This year, over 40% of France says they can't pay their transport, medical, energy, or childcare bills, or go on vacation, or even buy fruits and vegetables. It's the highest percentage they've ever recorded.
The poverty question in France is one that's been central, but the social safety net is running out. It's just going to get worse and worse for the poor people, because they're not going to be able to afford this stuff, you know? And the French are not going to be able to subsidize these cost of living increases the way they did.
The steep increase in poverty comes after a decade of failed austerity policies and a deep devaluing of the euro currency. The government just announced they expect the next two economic quarters to produce a growth rate of 0.2% and then 0%. Many predict that the essentially recession-level economy will soon begin massive layoffs. That combination spells stagflation, and it's something for which liberal economics has no theoretical remedy. This adds to the feeling of unease, especially among the investor class and high finance.
France has a pretty good record of having a social safety net for those who are on bottom as far as health care is concerned and other basic necessities. But since Macron got elected, a lot of those things have changed, because Macron has decided that he's going to attack that social safety net.
The report showed that a near universal 85% of France is worried for the future generations. That's also the highest percentage ever recorded. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Moving on to Sweden, where people are heading to the polls for general elections. The polls pit the ruling Social Democrats against an unprecedented alliance between the right and the anti-immigration far right. The voters are electing lawmakers to the legislature, as well as to local offices across the nation. Opinion polls show a tight race, with Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson having the edge. Her Social Democratic Party has been in power since the year 2014, but its popularity has been dwindling. Campaigning in the current elections has seen parties battle to be the toughest on gang crime. Sweden now tops European statistics for firearm deaths. Soaring inflation and the energy crisis in the wake of the war in Ukraine have also taken center stage. Polls will close at 8 p.m., with the final results due around midnight. Millions of pilgrims from across the world are converging on Iraq's holy city of Karbala for the annual commemoration of Arba'in. The pilgrims, many of them from Iran, are making the journey toward Karbala on foot. The city houses the shrine of Imam Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. This year, the pilgrimage, which is one of the largest religious congregations in the world, reaches its peak on the 17th of September. Arba'in marks the 40th day after the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein. The Imam, along with dozens of his companions, was killed during the Battle of Karbala nearly 14 centuries ago. Today marks the 21st anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks, which killed nearly 3,000 people. Terrorists hijacked a total of 4 planes for the deadliest terror attacks on U.S. soil. 2 of them destroyed the World Trade Center in New York City. The 3rd hit the Pentagon, and another crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. U.S. officials immediately blamed the Al-Qaeda terrorist group. The U.S. then launched the so-called War on Terror, invading Afghanistan and then Iraq, as well as launching bombing campaigns against over a dozen other countries. The U.S. War on Terror has left millions of casualties in the West Asia region and beyond. Many doubt that the campaign, which cost Washington trillions of dollars, achieved the stated goals. The U.S. war in Afghanistan was aimed at ousting the Taliban from power under the pretext that the group supported Al-Qaeda. But after 20 years, the U.S. handed over power back to the Taliban after withdrawing from the country. We asked Abdullah Mirzada to tell us how years of U.S. occupation affected Afghanistan. Here's his account.
To go into details to the effects of the occupation of Afghanistan, development of war insecurities, development of poverty and destruction of infrastructures and destruction of economy are some of the consequences of the United States invading Afghanistan. But to go even into more details about the casualties that Afghanistan had during that 20-year invasion, we could mention that 71,000 civilians only were killed, according to Institute of Watson Brown and Institute, and 78,000 soldiers, National Army soldiers, were also killed. These numbers are without the number of the opposition fighter, which can reach up to 84,000. And besides that, 5 million people lost their shelters, they lost their homes, and they were displaced. The United States, even after departing from Afghanistan, even after withdrawing from Afghanistan, still has those detrimental effects on Afghanistan. We could refer to the sanctions that they imposed on Central Bank of Afghanistan, and the blockage of almost $9 to $10 billion, which raised crisis in economy. It also raised the rate of poverty, which is said to be facing 97%.
To Najaf to talk to our correspondent Mahdi Abbasian, who is there to tell us about the Arba'in March. Mahdi, over to you.
I say hello to you, Calvin. Right now, I'm in the holy city of Najaf. This place is one of the beginning spots for the Arba'in pilgrims to start the walk of Arba'in. something like 80 kilometers from here, the holy shrine of the first Shia Imam, Imam Ali, and the father of Imam Hussein, the third Shia Imam. They will start from here, the walk and the procession, and they will go toward Karbala to be there on the day of Arba'in, the day that marks the 40th day of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein since the day of Ashura. Now, this year, millions of pilgrims, like the previous years, have taken part in this huge event. And from Iran particularly, the number of pilgrims has been a lot. Currently, or better to say, up to now, around 2.6 million Iranian pilgrims have entered Iraq for the pilgrimage. And during the past couple of days, there were some difficulties across Iran and Iraq's border at the border crossings. There are four border crossings between Iran and Iraq that pilgrims have to go through. They were crowded, and there was lack of things like food and water for pilgrims. They had to stay there for long hours. But fortunately, after positive negotiations with Iraqi officials and after sending equipment to the borders, Iranians managed to just facilitate the process. Now, the border crossings, people can easily enter Iraq, although they're advised not to do so because the number of pilgrims who are here right now in Najaf and are going toward Karbala is a lot, millions of people, something between 17 to 25 million people are estimated to be here in this city for the pilgrimage. So they're advised not to do so because Iraq does not have the proper infrastructure for hosting this great number of pilgrims. Although the Iranian side has tried to help them by sending them a flight that carried food and water for pilgrims. By the way, I have to mention something, and that is how Iraqi residents treat the pilgrims. They don't see them as hosts. They're like people from their own families, and they so selflessly and humbly try to serve them with anything they can, even the smallest thing that they have, from food or water to their houses. They try to share it with the pilgrims, whether they be Iranian or Arab or anything else. Back to you, Khaled.
Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. Mahdi Abbasian there from Najaf. Many thanks. With that, we come to an end for this edition of World News.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, September 11th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English radio programs. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Anand Mohan from India, Ajit Kumar from India, and Lars Skoland from Sweden. Many thanks for that. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, and as I have repeated many times in this program, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers at IRIB English Radio. You know why? Because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us. So, here, as usual, we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read them, including an email from Ivan A. Zeleny, one of our old and regular listeners from Russia. Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. And Adita Pratika from India has sent an email. And here we've received an email from Dario Gabrielli from Italy, one of our old and regular listeners. And the last but not the least is an email from Harold Seuss, one of our old listeners from Austria. Please stay with us. And here we go to see what Ivan A. Zeleny from Russia, one of our old and regular listeners, has said. Dear friends in IRIB English Radio, a few days ago, I was glad to hear a program on a Muslim topic in which a male announcer was quoting the Noble Quran. When the announcer spoke, a beautiful nasheed sounded in the background. If this report is correct, please send me your QSL card or EQSL or a verification letter. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Ivan Zeleny from Russia, and please accept our deepest and warmest appreciations to you for sending us this email. It's really great that our listeners let us know their views about IRIB English radio programs, just like you, Ivan Zeleny from Russia, one of our old and regular listeners. Again, thank you for this email. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Wish you all the best. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as verification, Ivan. And as I said in the beginning of the program, Bashir Ahmad, one of our old and regular listeners from Bangladesh, has sent us an email. Let's see what he says. Hello, I'm Bashir Ahmad. I have previously sent you several emails talking about current issues, and I really like IRIB English radio programs. Also, I have frequently heard my name in the listeners' special programs. Thank you for mentioning my name in your radio. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Bashir Ahmad. And many thanks for sending us this email. It's an honor to have special and unique listeners like you, Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh. And wish you all the best, Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh. Thank you for reflecting your views in this program. So my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as verification. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. Aditya Pritika from India has sent us an email, a short message. Let's see what he or she says. Hello, IRIB. I am Aditya, writing from Tamil Nadu, India. I am a new DXer and I am 20 years old. I feel glad that I'm sending one of my first reception reports towards IRIB. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Aditya from India. So you are a DXer, but we welcome you as a new listener of IRIB English Radio, and it's an honor to have a new listener at IRIB English Radio. Aditya, we wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you soon, and please let us know your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Thank you again. We wish you all the best, and my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. And from Italy, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Dario Gabrielli. Let's see what Dario says. Dear friends, my name is Dario and I am 57 years old and I live in northeast of Italy in a village situated near Venice. With pleasure, a few days ago, I listened to your English program on the frequency of 11,645 kilohertz. I want to send you some details about the programs in MP3 file because the reception was not clear. If the reception report corresponds to your programming, I would like to receive your confirmation with QSL or EQSL with the complete data of the confirmed transmission and signature of the verifier. Thank you in advance. Salam, ciao. Warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and of course, IRIB English Radio. Please accept our gratitude to you for this email, Dario Gabrielli, as you send many emails and letters from Italy to us. And we're so happy that the signals of our radio are received in your region as you live in northeast of Italy in a village situated near Venice. So please accept our EQSL card as verification. Dario Gabrielli from Italy, we wish you all the best. And of course, we're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. Here we have an email from one of our old and regular listeners. Yes, Harald Seuss from Austria. Harald Seuss says, dear staff from the English department or IRIB English Radio, I was glad to hear again the signal here in Austria. This time I spent 2 weeks in a DX camp in southern part of Austria beside a lake. I lived in my tent. We all in the group were listening to radio stations. So I made a reception report and hope you can verify it by QSL card. I wish you all the best for further transmissions. Your listener, Harald Seuss. Salam and warm greetings to you, Harald Seuss. And thank you very much for letting us know your experience beside a lake and your experience of listening to IRIB English Radio with your companions. That's great. We wish you all the best. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. And please accept our electronic QSL card as a verification, Harald Seuss from Austria. So we had a very good time together. But before saying goodbye and before ending this edition of Listeners Special, I want to thank those of our great listeners who sent us reception reports and emails, including Anand Mohan, Atij Kumar, Lars Eskoland, Harald Seuss, Ivan A. Zeleny, Bashir Ahmed, Adita Pratika, and Dario Gabrielli. Many thanks for being with us and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
First methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is the member you are listening to. May Allah accept your mourning for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Today we invite you to listen to an English lecture by Brother Amin Rastani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I want to speak about a little bit, just give a few examples of how great Imam Hussein is, how much they love him, everybody. A few stories that I want to share with you. The first one, one of the maraji of the past, Abdul Hadi al-Shirazi. Just to show how great Imam Hussein is. It says, now this is not something that I would necessarily say that brothers and sisters should do. He has reached a level of ma'rifah and understanding and love of Imam Hussein that he does this, but we don't have hadith for this. It's not mustahab in and of itself. I'm not going to say don't do it. I'm not going to say to do it necessarily. But it says that this is what he would do before his every salat. It says that after his adhan and his iqama, he'd send a salam to Imam Hussein alayhi salam before beginning his salat. Once again, don't think that if I do this from now on, my salat's going to be better. I'm going to be able to pay attention better. Not necessarily. To fix the salat takes a lot of work, okay? This person, though, has reached the level of ma'rifah, and he's saying salam to Imam Hussein before he starts his salat. Why, they asked him. And he says, because this salat that I have is because of Imam Hussein. Yes? So it's not just the memory of Imam Hussein that has lasted till today. His salat has lasted because of him. Another story. Someone was reciting poetry in the presence of one of the maraji again. And he's reciting, he says, ای خاک کربلای تو مهر نماز من. این مهر را به ملک سلیمان نمی دهم. Which means that, O the one who, so there, he's reciting this in front of that marja taqlid. O the one whose turba, the dust of his grave, is the mohr and the sajdaga that I use in my namaz. Mohr namaz man. I am not willing to change and exchange this turba, this sajdaga, with the mulk of Sulaiman, with the kingdom of Sulaiman. Now they say that this marja was listening to this, and he's weeping as he's hearing this. And then later on he tells the poet, he says, change it to this. Change this line, although it's a beautiful line, but change it to this. Instead of saying, ای خاک کربلای تو مهر نماز من, change it to, ای خاک کربلای تو اصل نماز من. That you're the turba and your grave, O Abu Abdullah, is my salat itself, is the origin of my salat itself. This is what Imam Hussein did. Yes? It's not just about, oh, we're gonna, he did what he did so that we get shafa'a on the day of judgment and like we get more thawab because we use turba. No, no. Asli namaz man, he says here, he says to the poet to say. And so this is why Islam is not just for the Shia, excuse me, Imam Hussein is not for the Shia only. It is for all of Ahlul Islam. If you know it, you know it. If you don't know, it's fine. But it's the reality is something else. If anyone is praying today, it's because Imam Hussein kept Salat alive. And as a matter of fact, I want to go a step further. You've all heard this as well, that not only that, it belongs to all of humanity, they say. Yes? Why do I say this? I want to share with you a little story about a person by the name of Antoine Bara, his name is. Or Antoine Bara. A Syrian Christian, Arab, he has a book by the name of Al-Husaynu fil Fikr al-Masihi. Hussein in Christian Thought. So there's like four or five chapters, five, six chapters in that book. It's interesting because you look at it, you're like, wow, looks like a Muslim wrote this, but the guy is Christian. I found him on YouTube. He's still alive. Now this guy, by the way, he's still Christian, but he has gone to Karbala, they said, seven times, and one time he's on the Arba'in walk. So I haven't done that much. This guy's done this much. He sees something in Imam Hussein, which is universal. And so he says in his book, the first chapter, Thawratul Hussein Liman. He's like, hey Muslims, don't limit Imam Hussein to yourselves. There's a lot more to Imam Hussein than just Islam. Now for us, what matters, of course, is the Islamic aspect. But look, when there is truth in something, when there is sincerity in something, things that we're going to talk about tonight, then people will connect. Anyone who has a little bit of fitra in them will find compatibility and will connect to Imam Hussein. Other chapters, for example, Fida'ul Hussein fil Fikr al-Masihi, the sacrifice of Hussein in Christian thought, for example. Mu'jizat al-Shahada, the miracles of martyrdom. Al-Asbab al-Ba'ida wal-Qariba lil-Thawrat al-Husayniyya, the close and far away causes, those things that cause directly and indirectly, yeah, the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and the revolution of Imam Hussein and so on. Yeah, so he says don't limit it to yourselves. So yes, we started out with Shia, we ended up with Islam, but then we ended up eventually with all of humanity. Now these are just little things that I'm mentioning here and there. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we can't limit him to ourselves. Another person by the name of Sayyid Idris al-Husayni. So, sounds like a proper Shia name, but he says, I was Sunni before. Now, once again, I don't want to make things about Shia Sunni, by the way. These are just little bits of proof and evidence for what I'm trying to claim here about Imam Hussein being so great. Or else you might find some of the Ahlul Sunnah who might revere Imam Hussein as much, and if not more, than some of the Shia out there. They might look at things a little differently, but Imam Hussein is universal, as I said. Anyway, he has a book that I mentioned last night, لَقَدْ شَيَّعَنِي الْحُسَيْنِ. Al-Hussein made me Shia. Why? In his introduction, he explains. He says, I had an answer to everything as a Sunni. I had an answer for everything. If you came up to me about this story, that story in history, all I had answers to everything. There's one thing I just did not have an answer to. How is this possible? How is Ashura possible? How can that take place? And so as I've said before, like dominoes, you push one of them down, the rest fall. Imam Hussein is that one who pushes the dominoes. So now he has a book by the name of Laqad Shayya'ani al-Hussein. Just a hadith about the greatness of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Then I want to move into the reasons that we can count for the everlastingness of this name, of this memory, of this story. The hadith goes like this. It's also famous. It says that Imam Hussein, he's the one who's mentioning this. He says, I was a child. I entered upon Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. And so there's this big companion with the Holy Prophet, Ubay bin Ka'b. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to him, to Imam Hussein, Marhaban bika ya Aba Abdullah. Welcome, O Aba Abdullah. And he's just a kid, by the way. Ya Zainas Samawati wal Ard. O Zinat of the skies and the earth. So now Ubay bin Ka'b, Zinat, what does Zinat mean? The adornment, the decoration, the beauty of something. Ubay bin Ka'b is sitting next to Rasulullah. He says, Rasulullah, but is there any zenith of the heavens and the earth other than you? What does the Holy Prophet reply? فَقَالَ لَهُ يَا Ubay, by Allah, إِنَّ الْحُسَيْنَ إِبْنَ عَلِيٍّ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. But Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the skies and in the heavens is higher than what he is here on this earth that we're on. فَإِنَّهُ مَكْتُوبٌ عَنْ يَمِينِ الْعَرْشِ. It has been written on the right side of the throne of Allah. Now, this might be figurative, but it just shows how great Imam Hussein is. What's written on the side of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? مِصْبَاحُ هُدًى وَسَفِينَةُ نَجَاتٍ. That on the throne of Allah, it says, on the throne of Allah, it is engraved that Hussein is the light of guidance, the beacon of guidance, and the ark of salvation. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Oh, Hussein, you live forever. Troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. English Radio.
Leaders' remarks with members of the Ahlul Bayt World Assembly. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has met with members of the Ahlul Bayt World Assembly at the end of its 17th General Assembly meeting, which was held in Tehran recently. In this program, we present a summary of the leader's remarks to members of this assembly. Please stay with us for more. ...117 different nations were represented at the 17th General Assembly meeting of the Ahlul Bayt World Assembly, which was held in Tehran. The purpose of this gathering was to collect religious scholars, ulama, intellectuals and academics under one roof to discuss the kindness and magnanimity of members of Prophet Muhammad's household, or the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, and to promote the culture of brotherhood among all of the Islamic Ummah, including Shia, Sunni, and all other religious denominations. Religious scholars from Palestine to Iraq, from India to Turkey, from Lebanon and Syria, Malaysia and Indonesia, and from the African continent were all present at this gathering. From the point of view of the leader of the Islamic Revolution, the gathering represented coordination and synergy among Muslims on an international scale. At the start of his speech, the leader referred to the significance, greatness, magnanimity, and popularity of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, emphasizing that many names, titles, and adjectives have been used in the description of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. But the most important thing is that the Ahlul Bayt World Assembly should act as an inspiration for all Muslims from all denominations. The leader also referred to a hadith or narration from Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, who told Shiite Muslims, "Be an ornament to us." The leader added, "If we want this to become reality, then the Ahlul Bayt World Assembly must become a base, a camp, for publication and dissemination of the qualities and characteristics of the members of the household of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them." Elaborating further, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The world of Islam needs you to disseminate and to publish the qualities of the Ahlul Bayt so that the entire world can become familiar with them." Elsewhere in his remarks, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei stressed that the Islamic Republic of Iran has hoisted the same flag as prophets and imams, peace be upon them, of the past, that is, the flag of justice and spirituality. The leader added, "The arrogant powers are led by the United States, and it is natural for them to oppose the Islamic Republic." Elaborating further, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The world of Islam is opposed to the infidels and the arrogant powers, and thus it is wrong for us to consider issues like Shias and Sunnis, Arabs and non-Arabs, the color of someone's skin, or someone's race." Further remarks, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, "It was precisely for this reason that the issue of occupied Palestine became so prominent in Iran following the victory of the Islamic Revolution. For Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, the Hezbollah resistance fighters of Lebanon, who happened to be Shia Muslims, and various Palestinian resistance fighters were exactly the same. From Imam Khomeini's point of view, both were fighting in the path of Allah, and both were fighting for Islam, and there was no difference between them." The leader poignantly added, "A fundamental characteristic of the arrogant powers is that they coerce other nations, they bully, and they transgress against or invade other nations. The fact that the Islamic Republic of Iran has stood up firmly and staunchly to these arrogant powers and is encouraging other Muslim nations to do the same is very unpalatable for these arrogant powers, and they find this totally unacceptable. This is why the arrogant powers establish the Takfiri terrorist group Daesh or ISIS, and this is why they engaged in Iranophobic activities, and they accuse Iran of interfering in the business of other countries. America is angry and irate at the fact that the Islamic Republic of Iran has covered all of its plans in the region. In further remarks, the leader of the Islamic Revolution said, "The Islamic world has plenty of potential for progress and advancement. It covers an extensive region of the world with very valuable resources such as oil and gas, and we know in today's world how important these are." The leader added, "All of these belong to the world of Islam, and the world of Islam can make optimum use of these resources." In further remarks, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, "The arrogant powers want to emphasize differences between Muslims. They want to start fighting between Shias and Sunnis, between Arabs and non-Arabs, or in some occasions between Shias and Shias, or between Sunnis and Sunnis. This is the work of the arrogant powers." But the leader of the Islamic Revolution, who has always supported Muslim unity, added, "We, the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, must hoist high the flag of Islamic unity and synergy." In further remarks, the leader said, "The formation of the Ahlul Bayt World Assembly is meant to strengthen Islamic unity between all Muslim denominations."
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The following is a part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with Friday prayer leaders from across the country in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on July 27, 2022.
In the management of national affairs, our women have shown the best management in their activities whilst wearing hijab and the chador. In scientific matters and literary issues, in hosting television programs and in various other fields, Iranian women have been present and advanced to the highest levels whilst wearing the Islamic hijab and observing the hijab. This is something very important. It invalidates the 200 to 300 years of effort of the West. They cannot tolerate it. It makes them angry. They go to great lengths to do something about it. That is when they stick to the topic of hijab. They stick to one thing and launch a propaganda campaign against it. This is where all these doubts and questions are arising from, and you can see how our enemies are acting. This is an important issue. As I have been informed, hijab has been spoken about in many of the Friday prayer sermons this past week. It is the current topic in the social media these days. It is also mentioned in the newspapers and in many sermons. In these situations, one should stay calm, act rationally, and stay away from expressing unnecessary emotions. Not that emotions are bad, they're a good thing, but acting on emotions requires caution.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
In times like these, you need to expose the Western colonialist rationale. The West is the firebrand in all this. Expose them and explain this to the people using clear reasoning. Now, the West is using both their state media and their insignificant hirelings to work on this. That's fine, but you should not get involved with trying to confront them. Your main focus should be on clarifying matters for the people. This is some general advice. When I said to react in a sensible manner without overdoing it, that goes for other things as well. Let us suppose there is some immorality which the Friday prayer leader finds necessary to speak about. His understanding of the people of his city and their views leads him to such a decision, and that is fine. But the way he speaks about this issue should be consistent with his status as a Friday prayer leader. He must be both firm and sensible. Take this jihad-e-tabyin, struggle for clarification, seriously. Focus on clearing the doubts and suspicions that people may have. As I mentioned, doubts are one of those things that are like termites. Our enemies depend on these termites. These doubts are like a virus, like the COVID virus. Once it enters, it is hard to get it out. It is also a contagious disease and can be passed on between people.
Allah, I wanna thank you.